I'd like to read to you an article written by Swami Ramdas back in 1965, or at least it was published in 65. Mind united with God and hands at work in the world. Such is the nature of a true devotee and servant of God. In this pure, selfless state, love flows out of him toward all beings, and whatever he does is always for the good of all. His actions bear the stamp of universal beneficence. He has no selfish ends to gain. He has no personal likes and dislikes. He has no craving for name, fame, wealth, and power. Some people may be pleased with him, and some may not be. His life cannot be judged by ordinary standards. He suffers and sacrifices to the utmost when called upon to do so for the good of humanity. Such a life is supremely blessed. Everyone should keep this glorious ideal before him. Life's real purpose lies in attaining this. True freedom, joy, and peace come to him who makes God and his service in the world his supreme goal. Our Bible chapter this morning is from St. Luke, chapter 12, beginning with verse 16. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself, and is not rich toward God. And he said unto his disciples, Therefore I say unto you, Take no thought for your life what ye shall eat, neither for the body what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, with taking thought, can add one stature to his cubit? Add to his cubit one, or to his stature one cubit. If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, neither be of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. I've chosen for my subject today, Explore the mountain of your own being. Man lives in darkness and ignorance until he puts his feet upon the path, the ladder of God realization. Because each man at some time or other comes to a state of awareness, a state of consciousness, where he realizes that he himself, an individual, man, is suspended between the past and the future. He has very little memory with regard to the past, or the past before he came into being as a man, remains clouded in the midst of the unknown. and the future has not yet evidenced itself. And he begins to ask himself questions as to where he came from, why he is here, and where he is going. And then if he be a very intelligent individual, he asks himself that if he cannot remember who he was before he was born, and he will not know who he will be after he leaves this body, what is this all about? Who is he? And the answer to that question is, of course, the eternal I Am, or God within us. When Moses asked God who he was, he said, I am that I am. Now, is this I the little human self, which takes upon itself such credit, such glory? Or is there a greater self that presides over all things, that truly, when you stop to think of it, must have been responsible for bringing us into existence, into this form of man? There must have been. And when you think farther, you think that you're not only one, but you are many selves. You are the knower, you are the knowledge, and you are that which is known. This is the eternal Trinity manifesting through all of creation. We have been taught that Christ is the carpenter, that he is the builder of the universe. And yet we confine him to the body of one man who lived 2,000 years ago. We do not realize that before creation, that body didn't exist as a body. It existed as God himself, as spirit. And then God put forth from himself the union between spirit and nature. And this whole universe came into being. This is the first and only begotten Son of Man. He created many, many things, but man was his highest creation, because man alone has the consciousness and the will, all that is necessary to find out the answer to who and what he is and where he came from. Let us look at some of these other selves. You know, it's an amazing thing how this other self works for us. We will kneel down to pray certain times, and I have been in congregations where this has happened, and the prayers have been said parrot-like and so rapidly that you are certainly fully conscious of the fact that nobody is consciously praying to God. They are repeating parrot-like words which they have been taught to pray. The prayers do not come from the heart. What is happening within their consciousness when they are saying these prayers, which have been handed down to them through the centuries? Their mind is on 1,000 other things. It may be on who is in the church, how many are there, how little or how large is the congregation, what they're going to do afterwards, what the demands are, what problems there are, or what they're looking forward to enjoyment. They are not truly praying. Then let us take the case of the man who is trying to work out a problem. He has been in school for a good many years, and so he knows how to add, how to subtract, until it's become just a thing of habit with him. So he sits down to add a column. It might be 5, 6, or 7 figures in a column, and he adds these columns up while his mind is busy with what he's going to do next, or some other factor of his existence. And he puts an answer down, and all of a sudden he realizes that he hasn't been concentrating on what he was doing at all. And he thinks to himself, I must have made a mistake. I wasn't really consciously here doing this. So he adds it up with his conscious mind in full swing and finds out that the answer is perfect. Now, who was it, while he was off wandering in the woods someplace, who was actually working on that problem, giving the correct answer? It certainly wasn't his human ego, this one that he calls his little self. There was a superior power there that was working this out for him, wasn't there? We have many, many times, I myself have had this experience many times, where I'll be reading a book, and I will have read a whole page, and I won't remember one word of what I have read. Yet I know that I have read it. My eyes have seen it. Maybe my subconscious took it in, but I'm not aware of it. And so I have to go back if I am going to consciously realize what that page, what it said on that page, before I can get the full impact of it and know that I am the knower of what is there. So this is the way we go all the time. But there is a third person. We have two there now. There's one who consciously does something as a human being, and one who does things for us even when our mind is wandering someplace else. But there is a third person, and that is the supreme I within ourselves, who is conscious and cognizant every single minute of every thought, word, and action which goes forth from us, and which either approves of it or disapproves of it. And that is God within ourselves. Now we have to think about this who. The who is actually a state of consciousness which identifies itself and then relates itself in connection or to someone else or something else. This is the way it goes, this I. So we have to be conscious of who we are. Now this consciousness that brought this whole creation into manifestation is equally present everywhere. And the who of this I is God. And God is that eternal life within us. As I've told you many times, God is life and life is God. There is nothing except God anyplace. And that life force, that life intelligence, that life energy is in every single little atom of space, to the lowest of his creation, to the highest. But this word consciousness enters in every single time, because the plant life, for instance, scientists have discovered, has consciousness. And if it is cut or torn, it registers on a graph as being very distressed. But it is not able to express itself as a man. Then we have all of the plant life, which does the same thing. Next, we have the animal life. And they have a higher state of consciousness. They move on all fours. They have the power of movement. But a dog is satisfied to be a dog, and a horse is satisfied to be a horse. Any other animal is satisfied to be what it is because it has no conscious knowledge of what it is. But man alone has this conscious knowledge of what he is. He is a man. He has the power to think and act and speak. And the motivating force within him is his will. He can will to do this, or he can will not to do it. It all depends on what use he makes, what choice he gives his free will. So therefore, he is responsible for every single action. But the majority of human beings are content to live in this state of ignorance and darkness. They do not start to climb the mountain of their own being, that they may reach the pinnacle and be able to look in all directions, to see all there is to see of the world around them. This world within ourselves is a tremendous world. It is an exact replica of that which this outer universe is made of. When you stop to think of it, we too have every single thing that is outside. We have water within us, we have earth or land, we have the firmament, we have the heavens, even as it is in outer space. Now, this water, this body is made up mostly of water, but also there is earth in it, or that which is of an earthly substance. And we have in the heaven of our own being the sun of Christ consciousness right here. We have the moon, the night. This is the psychic center, and that is at the solar plexus. We have the stars, which are spoken of in Revelations, in our spine. This is a tremendous body. Did you ever realize that? That everything that is in the outer is also in the inner. And we know that man, as he stands upright with his arms outstretched and his feet together, is in the form of a cross. But also, if he wants to spread his feet apart, he is in the form of a star. We know that this body is referred to as the tree, even as the trees that grow outside. We know that we have the seed within us. We have the Christ seed, but we also have the seed which procreates and brings another human being into existence. We know all of these things. It is fantastic that we speak of Moses in the burning bush, and we're referring to Moses, which represents the law, and the bush again, which is our own body, which is on fire with this tremendous energy of God, this kundalini or serpent force. All of these things we are. This robe is the body. And so it is also a church where we may worship God. It is a temple. It is a house in which we may dwell. We have all of the bacteria within us. We have the mineral kingdom, certainly. And even every now and then, these minerals within our body gather themselves together in a compact form, and we have kidney stones, and we have, gallbladder stones. It actually is, you see. And when you think that everything in this universe operates scientifically, geometrically, mathematically, chemically, every other way, it operates. And that every moment of our lives, all of these wonderful things are going on in this miniature universe of our own. And yet we have the audacity to say that we do things without knowing this higher self within us who has the power to know all things. Jesus made the statement, "Ye are gods." Does everyone have the possibility of becoming a god? No. Because not everyone has within himself in one lifetime the conscious, the consciousness which has been brought with him, and the will and the energy to go all the way to the top and unite himself and become a god, so to speak, master of the whole universe. But each one has the power within himself to unite himself with God and to find his eternal oneness with him. That he has. And when he finds that, then he can operate on that level and continue to explore into the mountain of his own being. As Jesus himself said, the Bible is filled with parables, and he taught through these parables. And he did it for a certain reason. He told his disciples that to them was given the power to know the truth, but to others in parables, lest they get knowledge which they had not earned, and be forgiven of their sins. And this would take away the power of his law, because his law is perfect. And he made man after his image and likeness and gave him free will. So if man operates in harmony with that law, he rewards himself. And if he operates out of harmony with it, he punishes himself. Now certainly, being a just God, he is not going to lift someone up who has blatantly disregarded his law and gone against it and committed all sorts of crimes or atrocities, and show him all of the beautiful and the wonderful things of his kingdom. This is where the statement that you have to get God realization first before you can be good is totally, absolutely fallacious, erroneous. Because man must make right choices. He must follow God's laws. And if he does that, then certainly he will be rewarded, and the day will come when his whole being will be lifted up in worship and adoration of his Lord. And he will see the great light of his own soul. My daughter Barbara, whom you now know as Ananda Mata, is at the height of one of these experiences. And this kundalini force is just burning in her spine. It's giving her quite a time. And I talked with her on the telephone the other day, and she said it had risen. It stopped there, but she was getting tremendous visions. She saw a big yellow ball of light. Then it turned to white. Then she saw a red ball, and in the center of it was sitting the Buddha. In the meantime, she has had tremendous physical reactions. She's been nauseous. She's had diarrhea, all of the manifestations in the physical sense. And she called me in tears. And she thought she was having hallucinations. She didn't know what was happening to her. Her whole body was on fire, and her brain was rolling in just in waves, like the waves of the ocean roll toward the shore and then recede into the ocean again. And so she said, is this real, or is this my ego telling me that this is the way it is? So I told her it is a very real experience from the standpoint of going the Christ way, because you are having the physical reactions, the physical manifestations, and this is the price that everyone pays. They pay it in the physical in order that the divine may be born. The physical must be purified. But it is quite an experience to go through. And anyone who has not gone through it certainly can't understand it. Many shy away from it in fear. But what is it that you are shying away from? You are shying away from your ability, your blessed privilege, of finding out who and what you really are, not what you think you are. You are shying away from the opportunity to overcome all of the trials and tribulations that have been hounding you, God knows how many incarnations, and set yourself free, free of all problems. If you don't do it, you're going to pack them on your back for the rest of your life. You have never put your foot on the first little step climbing up to the mountain. You take any mountaineer, he is not content even when he has reached the lower hills. He keeps on going and going and going, always with his eye on the summit. Now many get tired and they go back down to the valley again because the climb is too steep for them. But then when they go down again, they live in that valley and they find nothing but trouble and darkness and ignorance. Because even if you have joy and happiness for a short time, it is one of the pair of opposites. The joy goes along with the sorrow, and the sorrow follows the joy. And there you are for the rest of your life. You haven't made the effort to go all the way to the top and hang your ego, that which you call you, on God's peg. And until you come to the point where you make every effort, every moment of your life, particularly in the morning and at the last thing at night, to commune with your Lord, and then do what Ramdas said, to serve God in all humanity, which is the purpose we were here. We're not just here to satisfy our little selfish selves. We're here because we are all children of the one Father God. And as his family, we should love and serve him in each other every moment of our lives. How else are we ever going to arrive at our destination? In this chapter that I read this morning, it makes it very, very clear that the ego consciousness in man thinks that he's made effort up to a certain point. And he says, I've done everything I can. God's going to have to do it for me if it's going to be done. But he hasn't. He is not only fooling himself or hoping to, and hoping to mislead humanity, but certainly he isn't fooling God, I can tell you. He thinks he's done everything, and he hasn't even put his feet on the first step of the ladder. This is the truth. And he must make this effort to really get in the spiritual life, because he isn't living, he's dying. And he's accumulating all of these outer treasures, just as this man was going to build a larger barn to put his grain in. Another man is going to get a new car, a larger car, because he's outgrown this one. But he thinks he's come a certain way as far as his soul is concerned, so he tells his soul to eat, drink, and be merry, and to rest a while. No way. But God tells him, oh no, this is not the thing to do. Because this night, this day, your soul will be required of you. Because each one of us comes to that moment when God requires everything that we have. And this is another thing Barbara made the statement about. She said that God was saying to her inside, come on, give it to me. Give me all of it. Don't hold anything back. And there she was. And she strove to do what he said. All of a sudden, she felt a tremendous release, a relaxation. But she told me, she said, I'm mad at God. I said, why? Well, so happens that she has a tremendous amount of personal problems at the moment. And so she has not only this tremendous journey to God and all of the manifestations and the various things that she's having to work through inside, but she's got it outside too. But that too is a part of the pattern. It is the climate that God provides for each and every soul. Each one has his own. And the ones that go through the greatest, the most, those are the ones who are going to be the teachers of humanity. Those are the ones who are paying out in their own spiritual experience, in their own body, their own life, a certain amount of karma for all of those who will come to them afterward, so that they might have emptied out something of the animal, of the human, in order that they might put in its place the divine. As I read you last Sunday, man suffers to reach the pinnacle, to realize his oneness with God. But if he is what he should be in Christ, then also he suffers afterward vicariously for all of suffering humanity. He doesn't do this because he thinks it's a terrible punishment. He does it of his own free will, because having been released himself from this little self and found his real self, he has such joy, such bliss, such power, such supply within himself that he wants to help everybody to share the kingdom of heaven that he himself has found. Now, not everybody is going to be a teacher. So only those that are the great teachers of the world go through these tremendous things. Each one will go through it in accordance with his own destiny to be fulfilled, with his own desire to serve God. But we must remember that this will to do has to be there. There are many who think, and this is particularly true in the Orthodox religion, that Jesus the Christ, who lived 2,000 years ago and was said to have been crucified on a wooden cross, which is not true because it doesn't say a wooden cross, it just says the cross, which bleeds and which dies, and a wooden cross can't do either one of these things. That he is the atoner, vicariously, for everything that they will do from now on. That all they have to do is to say, I am sorry, confess their sins, be penitent, and then the Christ will lift them up and they are forgiven. But the next day they go out and they do exactly the same thing. This is not true repentance, I can tell you. And these people are hypocrites. They are letting someone else carry the burden of their own sin and their own guilt. It's the same way when we lose weight. I myself have gone to a weight doctor once in my life. And it was my will to let him help me, because obviously I wasn't using my will to help myself. But there have been other times when, through the use of my own personal will, I have gone about it and I have lost pounds. And I can do it any time that I set my personal will to accomplish this purpose. It's just a question of whether I'm hoping somebody else will do it for me and let me off the hook. And if I do that, it isn't going to last. Or if I really make the effort and do it myself. Now, this is a do-it-yourself trip, because you are the one who are going to reap the riches that come from your efforts. and you're going to find more than a larger barn and a larger car and a greater supply of money. You're going to actually become one with and tap the source of all supply, of all life, of all love, of all wisdom, of all power. Is it not worth the effort for heaven's sakes? And when you do that, then you are like, in the second part of what I wrote, to the fowl and the beasts in the field, because God supplies you. You are totally dependent upon him. I think this picture that I remember seeing several times, that every time it comes, I want to see it again, of brother, sun, sister, moon, wherein St. Francis likened himself to the birds and the beasts and all of God's growing things and how he took care of them. All he had to do was to love him, to be one with him, to serve him. And God took care of every single need. Certainly I can testify to that. But as long as you seek after the animal nature within you, just so long when you keep yourself in bondage, in trouble, and the problems will multiply. Because first, having been given a glimmer of the light of the Spirit, if you've reached out for it, you have put your feet upon that path, and there is no turning back. And if you don't go voluntarily, believe me, you're going to get dragged. You're like a man that is tied to a horse, and there's a rider on the horse, and he has caught a criminal, for instance, and he is going to take him wherever he's going. And so that man is literally dragged, his whole body on the ground, and many times he is bruised, he's bleeding, he's filled with dirt and dust and every other part of it. And then the man just cuts the rope and lets him go. That's the way we are, as just ordinary human beings. When we have within us the power to become one with God, and some of us actually gods, so to speak, this little godlets in the one body of the great God. When you stop to think of all of the things that are within you, because you have the 12 powers of the zodiac, the 12 planets within you, these are the centers within yourself, your spinal centers with the positive and negative forces, and they are below this great sun of your own soul, which when you make the effort to live the life, to meditate, to keep your consciousness always on him, to forget yourself and your little desires and attachments, and put your full consciousness on that light of the body, the eye, so that you may see this great light of your own soul. When you will do that, you will find everything in the world has changed. It speaks another parable of bearing the talents that were given to us. Some men used them for the good of others, and others buried them. Now many times most of the time, again, we think, being so materially minded, of the talents representing money, which they do. But they also represent the talents that God has given us, the gifts which he has given us, to be used only in his consciousness, only in his love, in his service for all of humanity. And if you bury that talent in the ground, certainly it isn't going to do you or anyone else any good. So you have to learn to live up to the fullness of that which God has given you. And that which he has given you is himself. He is yourself, living right inside of you, the beloved indwelling presence, your part of God. Some of you have come with problems, and I have told you a little prayer that Master gave to me many years when I too was trying to overcome a great many problems. Beloved indwelling presence, my part of God, you see to it for me that this problem, and you name it, is taken care of in complete harmony, wisdom, and justice for the highest good of all concerned, not just for me, Lord, but for all concerned, because there is always someone else, as a rule, connected with a problem. Because even if it is just within yourself, it must have been your action or your reaction towards somebody else that caused that problem. And so that individual is entitled also to have it come out in complete harmony, wisdom, and justice for the highest good of all concerned. What a wonderful prayer! How tremendous. And you can practice seeing this Christ light, feeling this Christ presence within yourself. You can practice visualizing it surrounding your body, letting all of your good come through because it is already pure, but also burning up that which is not good before it reaches you. And then you can extend that love, that light, that power, that energy, that goodwill to every single one of his creatures all over the earth. And as ye give, so shall ye receive. For every action, there's an opposite there's an equal and opposite reaction. What a tremendous thing when you stop to think of this as it really is, the truth of it, the science of it, and that everything is coming and going from God, just like the wave goes out from the bosom of the ocean and laps on the shore. But where does it go except to the ocean? And then to prove reincarnation, does it not come out from the ocean again and lap on the same shore and have its experience of contact? Pardon me. With the shore? Of course it does. Let us know the truth. And when we have found the truth, that our real self is God through Christ within us, then we will have fulfilled our destiny on this earth. And we will know the beauty and the wonder and the full power of Christ's words when he said, I and my Father are one. And as the Hindu further adds to, Blessed Spirit, I am He. Now let us all pray to Him. O Heavenly Father, Divine Mother, I feel the wonder and the beauty of Thy glorious presence in every part of my being. My heart is bursting with my love for Thee.
My heart is bursting with my love for Thee.
I kneel in adoration at Thy feet.
I kneel in adoration at Thy feet.
And surrender myself to Thee.
I feel the power of Thy protection.
Surging in every cell of my body.
Surging in every cell of my body.
My mind and my intelligence.
Are radiant with Thy healing light.
My soul is filled with the ecstasy and bliss.
My soul is filled with the ecstasy and bliss
of my communion with Thee.
Of my communion with Thee.
I are one.
I and my Father are one.
Blessed Spirit, I am He. O Heavenly Father.
O Heavenly Father.
Open my eyes that I may see Thy face.
Open my eyes that I may see Thy face.
Open my ears that I may hear Thy footsteps everywhere.
Open my ears that I may hear Thy footsteps everywhere.
Open my heart that I may feel the glory of Thy love.
Open my heart that I may feel the glory of Thy love.
O Heavenly Father.
O Heavenly Father.
May Thy love shine forever.
May Thy love shine forever.
Upon the sanctuary of my devotion.
Upon the sanctuary of my devotion.
May I be able to awaken Thy love in all hearts.
May I be able to awaken Thy love in all hearts.
And bring them to Thee.
And bring them to Thee.